The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
The Sharks win the draw. Ferraro snaps it up the left boards. It's out of the zone. It's off a stick. Gaudette grabs it. He's down the left. He's two-on-one with Ostapchuk. He shoots. He scores! Adam Gaudette looked at Ostapchuk and then snapped the puck toward the goal. With 21 seconds remaining in the game, it's Adam Gaudette to put the Sharks in front 5-4, and the crowd at SAP Center explodes with excitement. They love it.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to our president, Jonathan. We just talked about it. This building is alive. There's great energy in here. You could feel it. The thing, I think, felt like the thing was gonna, the roof was gonna pop off when God's put that goal in. So we could feel it really a lot after the Olympic break. You can sense it around, you know, the area and where I live especially. But it's special. It's a special place. It's a special environment. It's a hard place to play, and we want to continue to make that energy come alive.
All right. Good morning, everyone. The San Jose Sharks are back on track. They have won two games in a row, 34-31-7 on the year, 75 points. They are currently tied in points with Seattle, who are one spot in front of them. At fourth place, they are 1 point back of the third place in the wildcard race, LA Kings. And they are 2 points back of Nashville at 77 points. But San Jose still has two games in hand on Nashville, as well as Utah, who are 7 points in front of San Jose. If we look at the Pacific, they are 7 points back of Vegas, who they have three games in hand. They are 8 points back of Edmonton, who they have two games in hand. And they are 12 points back of Anaheim, who they play on Wednesday night, who they do have two games in hand. So the San Jose Sharks at this point, I won't say they totally control their own destiny, but they do have a great opportunity to continue this push to get into the playoffs before this year comes to an end. And what's amazing to me is that the entirety of the West has not pulled away from San Jose. San Jose lost six in a row. Now they've won two straight. They have multiple games in hand on Nashville, on Utah, on Vegas, on Edmonton, on Anaheim, and they are just a few points back of the race overall. So this is not going away anytime soon. San Jose has a great opportunity between now and the end of the season. And I think we're all very, very excited to see what happens next coming up on Wednesday night when they host Anaheim in what is the next biggest game of the year, because they all feel like they're the biggest game of the year at this point. That's a nationally televised game now, so it's going to be a 6 p.m. start as opposed to 7 p.m., which means our pregame is at 5:30, and the San Jose Sharks have got a lot to be ready for taking on the Ducks. That's going to be one of the biggest games of the year. Then the next night, they're right back at it against Toronto. So quickly, they are going to be beset by challenges, but they've won two in a row. We've been talking about the entirety of this six-game homestand. I think they need 5 wins or 10 points out of it. It's going to be very, very challenging. Obviously, they take on after Anaheim and Toronto on the Wednesday, Thursday back-to-back. Then it's Nashville on Saturday night. And then it is going to be the Blackhawks on the 6th. So yeah, it is. It's fast and furious for San Jose. We're getting down to the final stretch here. But what a win last night at the Tank. The fact that it starts off with Macklin Celebrini having an absolutely electric first period with two goals and an assist, absolutely on fire. I mean, what a remarkable season that Macklin Celebrini is having. He's at 101 points now on the year. He is obviously one of the, you know, faces of the NHL. That doesn't even, you know, enter the equation as a question. Everyone knows that Macklin Celebrini is now one of the faces of the NHL. He's the face of the Sharks franchise. He is performing at a remarkably high level. He's got 5 points in his last two games. And remember, during that six-game slide, everyone was saying, oh, is Macklin tired? Is Macklin tired? Well, maybe the entirety of the team was just having a dip. Maybe the entirety of the team is not just Macklin Celebrini. Now, I can also make an argument that as Macklin Celebrini goes, so go the San Jose Sharks, because he is such the center point, the focal point of their offense, if you will. But, you know, there are ups and downs to an NHL season. That's why we don't play 70 games. That's why we don't play 60 games. That's why we play 82 games and soon 84 games. But this is Macklin Celebrini in his second year in the NHL. He's still just 19 years old. He is not perfect. He is not flawless. He is not going to give you 3 points every night and have a 200-point season or something crazy like that. But I think there are going to be ups and downs. He had his legs right from the get-go tonight. I think you saw the opportunities. He certainly almost had the hat trick with that empty netter that just missed. But Macklin Celebrini was the spark early on. And you know what? The Blues, hot on San Jose's tails, were going to be given every bit of effort that they had. And that's why we had such a wild back-and-forth game. You know, completely thrilling. Everyone, whether you're in the arena, whether you're paying for a cable package, whether you're going to have some beers at a bar, you get your money's worth out of last night's game. You go down 1-0 early, you go up 2-1, they tie it at 2-2, then in the remaining 50 or 60 seconds of the first period, Macklin Celebrini makes it 3-2, then you go out in front 4-2, then St. Louis comes back to make it 4-3, and then it's 4-4, and then you get the last second goal or last 30 seconds goal from Adam Gaudette to make it 5-4. You get tremendous saves. You get tremendous efforts. You get great plays. I mean, what a night at the tank. The San Jose Sharks go in for the entertainment factor, give you everything you can possibly ask for. And, the buzz after you've got five goals in the first period. And then, you know, Alex Wenberg is on hat trick watch. Macklin Celebrini was on hat trick watch. Yaroslav Askarov, even though he did let a couple get past, was still making absolutely tremendous saves. You've got Broberg and Dvorsky out there, two of the best names in all of NHL. My Broberg's getting a Dvorsky. Just the ultimate jokes that you have going on out there all the time. I loved every second of last night's game. Complete thrills, tremendous action. And then you get the last second heroics of Adam Gaudette, who is such a fun player. I love his celebrations. He's one of those guys who, when he's happy, he doesn't try and play it cool and hide the smile. He's going to have the moment. He's going to have the celebration. He's going to have everyone getting excited for him. He's the type of guy whose emotion sparks emotion on the bench in games. And I think that's why you love to have him on this team. And he's a guy who's going to give you, you know, roughly 15 to 20 goals. And now, you know, the San Jose Sharks have watched one of those big goals as he's creeping towards 20, have a big part in earning them a win and a big 2 points. You know, Adam Gaudette, when they acquired him, I don't think that set the world on fire. Zach Ostapchuk, I don't think that set the world on fire. When they got Barclay Goodrow, when they got, you know, Ryan Reeves, all these guys on the fourth line, it was not setting anyone's hair on fire. It was not, you know, lighting up the internet. It was pieces that everyone said, okay, we'll see where this goes. But no one knew what the end result was going to be. But you see what the fourth line has turned into. You see the impact they can have on a game. And Ryan Reeves obviously dealing with an injury. It was great to hear him on the broadcast last night on the TV side, because he just had, you know, tremendous insights and some, you know, great thoughts about things. And hearing his reaction to the game, it was funny. You could tell Drew was playing the fake nervous guy, going, easy there, big fella. But no, it was good to get his insights. But, you know, that fourth line, they've done such a great job all year long. And to watch them come through with a big performance last night to earn that ice time, just one of the reasons why San Jose has found themselves in this spot, quote unquote, ahead of schedule. And I know we can talk about the West being down, but the schedule is what the schedule is. Maybe it's not so much that the West is down. It's just that there's so much parity and teams are taking away points from each other all throughout the year, that the top teams don't have that much of a gap between the rest of the West. Now, I know you can talk about where teams like Colorado and Dallas are at this point, but I just think that the West is a bit of a gauntlet, because even a team like San Jose, who is not a great team as of yet, they're still a difficult out for even the best teams in the NHL right now. They might not be quote unquote there yet, but I don't think anyone's looking forward to playing Macklin Celebrini and the San Jose Sharks, who have players like Barclay Goodrow on the fourth line, who have players like Adam Gaudette on the fourth line, who have goalies like Nedeljkovic and Askarov, who can come up with brilliant performances at any given time. But what a night at the tank, and just, you know, watching Alexander Wennberg, again, who is a guy who's not specifically known for his goal scoring, but they've seemingly gotten the message through to him lately to be shooting more, and it's working. I mean, you hear what Ryan Warsawski, or you will hear a little bit how they've been telling him to shoot more, and now he's shooting more. And I mean, I talk about the power play coming through. You know, being more aggressive in general was such a big part of last night's game. You know, the first goal that San Jose scores, that's on the power play. Celebrini, Toffoli, Wennberg, just a huge, huge play early on. And I know that Wennberg kind of inadvertently passed it to himself, but, you know, that's a big goal. Then you get Macklin Celebrini with a power play goal, and then you get Celebrini at the end of the period. You know, then another power play goal from Wennberg at the start of the second period. This time, Tyler Toffoli and Will Smith. And Smith gets it to Toffoli. Toffoli throws it in front, knowing that Alexander Wennberg, I assume, is backdoor. Alexander Wennberg takes a whack at it, gives you a goal. You're up 4-2. That's the aggression that the power play has needed at sometimes this year and has been lacking. They've just been a little bit too cute, a little bit too passing the puck. This was a game where you get down low, you make things happen, and then, you know, you know anything can happen. You know that you've got players who can make the big plays. But looking at the box score last night, Wennie a three-point game, Celebrini a three-point game, Tyler Toffoli a two-point game, Will Smith a two-point game, Nick Leddy, he gets an assist out of last night's game. That's a point for a defenseman. Orloff, that's a point for a defenseman. Gaudette, he gets a goal. And Desharnais, a point for a defenseman. Ferraro, a point for a defenseman. And then you get great performances out of guys all around. Goodrow, Sherwood, you know, Mook Badul and Eklund. And there's guys on this game who don't show up in the scoreline. I thought Kiefer Sherwood was all over the place, and he had some great opportunities, and he was making his presence felt. I thought that Sam Dickinson was active, jumping in on plays. I thought that Graf and Misa also had some big moments, and I know that people are saying that Graf and Misa have cooled down, but, you know, give it some time with those guys. They're going to heat back up, and they're going to come up with big goals and big moments when it comes down to the stretch here, or I guess you could say we are in the stretch here. And then, you know, Yaroslav Askarov was not perfect last night, but still made a number of huge, huge plays that gave the Sharks their opportunities. And I think at this point, that is my big thing with San Jose, is don't deny yourself the opportunity. I don't expect these young players to be perfect. For all the criticism we give Yaroslav Askarov at times, he is in his first full year in the NHL. Same thing with a Macklin Celebrini when he's turning the puck over, or Will Smith when maybe he's not as physical as we would like him to be, or Michael Misa when he turns the puck over, or you go down the list of any of these young players. But you have to recognize that these players are young. I mean, even Igor Chernyshov, who 2 games ago had a 2-goal game, including the game winner that gave, you know, the Sharks a big, big win. You know, these players are still figuring it out in real time, and I don't expect them to be perfect. Even the more veteran players like Orloff, he made a mistake recently that led to a goal for the opposition, or Tyler Toffoli. You know, there have been moments where they've not been at their best, but for the most part, I'm saying, are you giving your team the right opportunities? Are you giving them chances? Tyler Toffoli did that last night. That's why he had a 2-point game. You know, he had a big, big factor in the win, and we know he's out there playing with a little bit of an injury. He's not 100%, but he's helping San Jose win. You know, it's not always going to be the perfect game. It's going to be the gritty, grindy game. And we've heard Ryan Warsawski talk about that, you know, about how the Sharks need to win these close games. And we know that, you know, not a lot has been easy for San Jose this year, that they've had to earn their wins. They've not had a lot of quote-unquote easy wins. They earned that win last night. Nothing about that game was easy, and I give a lot of credit for St. Louis not backing down, because they were hot on San Jose's heels, tied in points. They had played one more game, so their points percentage was not as high as San Jose. But, you know, that's what it comes down to. You have got to be able to keep on pushing. And St. Louis was able to keep on pushing. And San Jose was able to fight through it, gave themselves a chance, had the opportunity. And I keep on coming back to opportunity. If you give yourself an opportunity, that's all I can ask for with a young team. Now, I would like there to not be glaring errors and glaring turnovers. But I think for the most part, even though there were some turnovers in last night's game, I felt like San Jose continued in that vein of playing a more direct, simplified game. You did not see them trying to make the home run pass as often, although looking back on the game, they did find Adam Gaudette on a couple of stretch passes where they were trying to get him going, get his speed in transition working, and I kind of felt like Gaudette was due throughout the game. I love, you know, that they're trying to do these things. It's just a matter of it happening, and you keep on trying. You keep on trying to chop down that tree. Eventually, you're going to have that breakthrough, and that's what the Sharks were able to find in last night's game. And, you know, just a big, big performance, a big, big moment for the team. And I think when we look back at the season, whether or not they were able to give themselves an opportunity to get into the postseason, not an opportunity, but whether or not they were able to earn the trip to the postseason, I think we're going to look at these moments and see it indicative of what this team has the ability to become. You love the effort. You love the competitive desire, making the tank explode the way they did last night. You know, the frenzy at the end of the first period. That's what I keep on coming back to, is there have been these moments all year long where the Sharks tilt the ice in a way that is very, very unique to the great teams in the NHL. We've seen Colorado do it. You know, Colorado has been in contention for, I will say since 2019, really, when the Sharks knocked them out in the second round. But Colorado, the way they can tilt the ice. Edmonton, the way they can tilt the ice. You know, Florida, the way they pound you and, you know, put the ice on top of you. I mean, these great teams that end up winning Stanley Cups, they do it. And I looked at the way the Sharks were playing at the end of that first period when it felt like they were going to score a fourth goal before they went to the break. And it was like, ooh, they're not done. Macklin Celebrini scored that goal with, what, 54 seconds remaining, 56 seconds remaining? And then they just tilted the ice and kept on coming wave after wave after wave. That is dangerous. That is indicative of what the Sharks will become. They're not there yet, but when they do figure out how to do that consistently, as opposed to it just happening, the rest of the NHL needs to be very, very concerned, because the Sharks are going to punish and bury teams early. It's going to be like it was with the old days with San Jose, where they're going to put three on you in the first 10 minutes, and you're going to be looking around SAP Center, which will be whipped into a frenzy, and thinking to yourself, what just happened here? What did we just go through? What on earth are we going up against in this San Jose team? Because you can feel it. You can see it happening in real time. San Jose tilts that ice, and they start coming wave after wave, led by Macklin Celebrini at the Vanguard. Look out. It's coming, guys. It's not there yet, but it's coming. Let's get into some of those highlights from last night. It was St. Louis striking first.
Neighbors steals it, moves to the slot, throws to the left. Here's Lindstein. Score! What a wrist shot that was by Lindstein, set up by Neighbors, and Lindstein didn't waste any time snapping it from inside the left circle. Absolutely no chance for Askarov on that. And Teo Lindstein makes it 1-0 St. Louis.
So the Sharks go down early in their own building, and I think that for a lot of teams in the situation the Sharks are in, a young team trying to vie for the playoffs, you might not have the reaction that San Jose did, but I actually really, really liked how they responded. Their play picked up. They started creating opportunities, and then Alexander Wennberg on the power play, he comes up with a big, big goal assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Tyler Toffoli.
Smith turns to his right, gives to Celebrini on the right wing side, sends to the middle, and that's Orloff giving it to Toffoli. Now back to Celebrini, down low in front for Wennberg, trying to shoot it, score! Alex Wennberg thought about passing it the first time. It deflected off of the defense right back to his stick. And the second time he said, I'm not wasting any more time. I'm firing that puck. And Wennberg scores on the power play to tie the game 1-1.
So Wennberg picks up his 15th of the year off the power play. The Sharks level the ledger. And then about 5 minutes later, Macklin Celebrini with his 37th goal of the year gives San Jose the lead.
Orloff fakes the pass, now gives it back to Celebrini, top of the right circle, down low and to Wennberg, back to Celebrini, back to Wennberg, holding it, sending it across the rink diagonally. Orloff doesn't shoot, gives it to Celebrini, he shoots, score! Tyler Toffoli created a great bit of confusion in front of the net to take away some of the vision of Hofer as Macklin Celebrini perfectly places that wrist shot. And the San Jose Sharks at 13:25 of this first period take the 2-1 lead, and for Macklin Celebrini, that is going to be his 100th point of the season.
Back and forth we go in this wild first period that had five goals. Just about 3 minutes after that, Pavel Buchnevich ties the game at 2.
As Kyrou exchanges with Buchnevich and throws it up to the Sharks' line. Neighbors walking in, lead pass, tip, score! Neighbors sends it over to Buchnevich for a backhanded tip that stayed on the ice and gets by Askarov with 3:21 to go in the first period. The Blues are showing they're not going anywhere. They've tied the game 2-2.
Incredible action between these two sides. Macklin Celebrini, though, not done with his first period scoring. He gives the Sharks a 3-2 lead.
And now it's Smith looking for a man on the right with a minute left, and it's Letty skating in. The centering feed in front. Score! Macklin Celebrini getting it from Nick Letty. A brilliant pass and a beautiful finish. Celebrini has 2 goals and 1 assist in 19 minutes of action. The Sharks have a 3-2 lead.
5 goals in that first period. What a rush. We go to the second period. Sharks are up 3-2. About halfway through, they're on the power play once again. Alexander Wennberg with his 16th of the year.
Will Smith sends down low to Toffoli. Back to Orloff. Feeds to the right. Here's Celebrini. 2 goals, 1 assist today. Holding on to the puck. Minute 5 remaining on the power play. As here's Celebrini dishing off to Smith. Sends in front to Toffoli. Turns and shoots. Save. Score! Toffoli made that play, had his back to the goaltender Hofer, with Wennberg also in front. Toffoli turns and puts it off of Hofer. It goes in, and the Sharks have another power play goal, their third of the game. San Jose 4 and St. Louis 2.
It wasn't until we could get a couple of good looks at it on the replay that we did see that Wennberg whacked it in, but it's 4-2 San Jose. At this point, late second period, Philip Broberg scores his 6th of the year on the power play to make it a 4-3 San Jose lead. As St. Louis shows, they're not done yet.
Now here comes Thomas back across the Sharks' line. Power play hockey for St. Louis. It's Holloway walking in front. They score! Broberg gets the drop pass, and he snaps it past Askarov. Exactly what the Blues wanted and exactly what the Sharks could not afford. The score is the Sharks 4, St. Louis 3. 26 seconds left in the second period, and St. Louis is back in the game, courtesy of Philip Broberg.
We go to the third period now, 12:53 mark. Cam Fowler on the power play makes it a 4-4 game.
Kyrou for St. Louis tosses it back left point to Fowler. Back to Kyrou, back to Fowler on the right circle. Shoots, score! Cam Fowler, a little exchange of passes, was back skating all the way from the left side of the point to the right. And from the top of the right circle, he got one through. And that ties the game 4-4. A power play goal for St. Louis. That penalty on Askarov proves to be costly. And we still have 7:07 left.
The drama continues to the very last minute of this game with 22 seconds remaining. Adam Gaudette with his 16th of the year, assisted by Mario Ferraro and Vinny Desharnais, gives San Jose the win.
The Sharks win the draw. Ferraro snaps it up the left boards. It's out of the zone. It's off his stick. Gaudette grabs it. He's down the left. He's 2-on-1 with Ostapchuk. He shoots. He scores! Adam Gaudette looked at Ostapchuk and then snapped the puck toward the goal. With 21 seconds remaining in the game, it's Adam Gaudette to put the Sharks in front 5-4, and the crowd at SAP Center explodes with excitement. They love it.
5-4 would be your final. San Jose picks up a critical win and 2 points. Let's hear what head coach Ryan Warsawski had to say after this one.
Yeah, I thought, you know, for the most part this year we've had a lot of resiliency in what's gone on, and maybe some adversity or situations throughout games, and we've kind of, you know, kind of our thing is just to just play and just compete. And I thought a group did a really good job of that after they scored the first goal. You know, we actually had a pretty good start, had a couple looks, did what we wanted to do, and they put one back in the back of your net. You can get put on your heels, and I thought we kind of woke us up even more, so that was positive.
Vinny Desharnais talked to me this morning. He said patience, you know, learned a lot against the first game against these guys and a lot against Columbus. Did you feel that patience after they scored the first goal? It didn't look like the team was rattled at all.
Yeah, I think this time of year, and no matter who you're playing, you got to have patience in your game, and sometimes there's going to go stretches when not a lot's happening, and you got to be okay with that and not have to have high risk in our game. And I thought at moments we still had that high risk. We'll have to learn from it and get better and continue to work on it, but for longer stretches, and especially in these last 3 games, we've had more patience in our game.
Coach, a lot of physicality, a lot of back and forth. What would be the assessment for tonight's game, and what could be some of the things that it could be worked on for next game?
Yeah, well, you never want to give up 4 goals, so that'll be the one thing that we look at, you know. And, you know, some puck play, managing the game, where we are in the game, feeling the momentum of games, you know, some wall plays. But, you know, this time of year, you gotta take the wins when you can get them. That's a big win for our group, so we'll take it, we'll look at it, we'll get better and get ready for Wednesday.
So, Coach, how confident were you in that last minute in a tight game like that, having the fourth line that's been effective all night long to put them on there?
They would have been really good. They earned it. They were out there. You know, they're responsible. Obviously they got caught out there. You know, half of them got caught out there in the icing. So, but it's a good execution on the D-zone face-off win. Gods puts in the back of the net, and there's, you know, that line's been really good for us.
Even Goodrow drawing that penalty early on.
Yeah, to Mac, that line was good. That line was good. Mac's line was good. You know, that Wenny was we had him on Thomas there. He's a good player, man. He feel like every time he was in ice, Robert Thomas was making stuff happen. So it's a good team over there, well structured. Give them a lot of credit. They've probably one of the, you know, hottest hockey teams in the league right now.
What was special on power play tonight? Three power play goals here against this team.
Well, I think it was really good in practice this morning. And they were, you know, moving the puck. They were reading off one another. They executed the game plan.
What more can you say about Macklin, 100 points already?
Yeah, he's got a long way to go. I mean,
200, right?
No, you could see from the drop of the puck tonight, he had his legs and he was going. And even on the bench, he's kind of blossoming into a real natural leader as well. Being more vocal, being more comfortable, and understanding how the game is to be played this time of year, he's picked it up really well, you know, and he's earned those, you know, 101 points now that he has. Obviously, Smitty and Cherny do a good job as line mates and the rest of his teammates, but we saw it when day one, when Mac got here, how special he was going to be. We saw it in the Olympics, in the national stage, how the world saw it. And now, you know, we see it every day. It's obviously a special talent, but what we see is not just the goals and the points, but his leadership capability, the way he plays without the puck, how hard he is to defend, and he's an ultra competitor, and he drags guys into the fight. So I think I've said the same thing about 15 times, but that's what he is.
Hey, Coach, I think that kind of falls into the maturity aspect of a player, the development. How essential would that be if you guys want to push for a playoff spot?
Yeah, we got to keep maturing as a group. You know, that's not just one player. That's us as a team. We got to continue to learn here how to play at this time of year in certain situations in the game. And we have the momentum. We want to step on it. When we don't, we got to simplify it.
You guys talked a lot before about making this place, this building, sort of what it was. You know, does it feel like with the energy in the crowd tonight, this homestand, that it could really turn into that here?
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to our president, Jonathan. We just talked about it. This building is alive. There's great energy in here. You could feel it. The thing, I think, felt like the thing was the roof was gonna pop off when God's put that goal in. So we could feel it really a lot after the Olympic break. You can sense it around, you know, the area and where I live especially. But it's special. It's a special place. It's a special environment. It's a hard place to play, and we want to continue to make that energy come alive.
Winberg's a guy who's never really been known for his goal scoring. How much does it mean to see him shooting more and get two in the back of the net tonight?
Yeah, you know, we keep asking him to shoot a little bit more. And little by little, he's listening. So, Winnie had a really good game tonight. He had a tough assignment, and he's done it all year long. I mean, he has to go down as one of the, you know, one of the best shutdown centers in the game right now.
You talked to Igor Chernyshov and the shot in the arm he's giving you guys. You've talked a lot about the forecheck. That shift in the third period of that line was pretty much all created off his forechecking. How much has he added that aspect to Mac and Will and allowed them to create offense because of that?
Yeah, I mean, he skates, he's big, he gets on pucks, picks up things really quickly, goes to the net. I think he just, you know, Mac is talking to him, but I don't know if he understands what he's saying sometimes. So he just plays his game, and I think that's real positive.
After this last stretch of losing, what are these last two games to win mean for the confidence of this team going forward now, this final stretch?
Yeah, you could feel it in morning skate this morning. We had a big weight on our shoulders trying to find a win after that losing streak, and there was some more energy in our group, there was more confidence in our group, so I would say you kind of felt it this morning.
What can you say about Adam Gaudette just in the room? You know, he hasn't played every game, but whenever he's been in, he's made an impact.
Just does what you ask. You know, you trust him. He's a true pro. You know, there's tough times when he's not in the lineup. He's been center. He's moved up. He's kind of a Swiss Army knife. He's moved around and he doesn't complain. Does what he asks. Does it as hard as he possibly can. And that's why we love him.
Okay, thanks
for that one.
Thank you.
Yeah. Curtis, that's my question. But kind of adding on to it, I mean, at this point in the season, how important is the crowd reception for you guys?
Oh, it's huge. You know, I think it was kind of our message is we wanted to get the building alive. We feed off the energy in the building, and I think that's what makes this place so hard to play.
The tank is rocking. I am absolutely stoked to feel what it's going to be like Wednesday night when we get this big Pacific showdown. The two teams of the future in the Pacific, in the Western Conference, both coming out of rebuilds. Anaheim in town. Again, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock go time as the San Jose Sharks play host to the Ducks. We are just about out of time. But yeah, like I said, Wednesday night, be sure to join us. Remember, our pregame coverage starts with Dan and Drew with the morning skate. Then we've got Ruzanowski's Till Report. I've got the build-up for you. And then 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock go time, the Sharks and the Ducks from SAP Center. Then they're back at it Thursday, Toronto in town. I'll see y'all then for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yeah.